Good morning, all. Let's just pray before we start. Dear Heavenly Father, we just give you great thanks that you are a loving God. Lord, we give you thanks for your Son, that he died the death we deserved. Lord, we just pray now that your Spirit will be upon us, opening up our hearts as we open up your word. Amen. Well, what brings us to praise? What is worthy of our praise? We give praise for lots of things, don't we? We praise our celebrities. We praise our soldiers. We praise our children. We praise our sporting stars when they win, unlike the Wallabies last night. We even praise our pets. But what stops us from praising things? What stops us from praising things even though they continue to do the thing that is deserving of praise? For example, the Blues beat Queensland this year in the State of Origin, and they received great praise for that. But what about the Maroons? Did they get that same type of praise last year when they won for about the 10th year in a row? Well, no, they didn't. But why is this? Why did they not receive the same type of praise? Well, I put it to you that we actually become accustomed to things doing well, and then we stop giving them the praise that they actually rightfully deserve. See, the Queensland team, they had only lost one series in the past 12 years. Queensland supporters had become accustomed to Queensland winning. So when they won again last year, they didn't receive the praise they actually deserved. They received a dampened down praise. And I think the same can be said about us when it comes to God and giving him the praise he deserves. How often do we praise the Lord? Well, when we first become a Christian, we start off praising God for what he's done for us. We give him great praise that he has taken our sin away. He has died the death we rightfully deserve. But as the years go on, we often find our praise slipping, slipping, slipping. I know that's the case for me for a number of years. I found my praise for God just slipping down away. Well, if this is true for you as well, like it is for me, today's psalm has much to remind us of. Today's psalm, the psalmist is summoning us to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord! I will extol the Lord with all my heart in the council of the upright and in the assembly. The psalmist is calling for us to praise the Lord with all our heart in all situations, both in public and also in private. But why is the psalmist calling us to praise the Lord? Well, God is to be praised because of his works and because of his nature. In verses 2 and 3, the psalmist speaks of the same thing that Mark showed us last week in the beginning of Psalm 19. The creation shows us the glory of God. It points to a creator and his work. God creates, God sustains, God directs, and God governs. But like last week's psalm, today's psalm also moves from the generalized to the specific. The psalmist specifically reminds his readers of what God has actually done for Israel. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works, giving them the land of other nations. See, in these three verses from 4 to 6, the psalmist reminds the reader of what God had done in taking the nation of Israel out of Egypt, sustaining them in the wilderness for 40 years, providing them food every day for that 40 years. And then he delivered them into the promised land. And in verse 4, we see that the Lord has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord will not let his people forget what he has done for them. Israel is to remember these events by the festivals that God had actually instituted. Leviticus 23 lists 7 festivals that God appointed for Israel to remember what he had done for them. Now, we may look at these festivals and go, these look a bit burdensome for the people of Israel. And during Israel's history, a lot of the time, they actually saw these festivals as being burdensome. They had to do sacrifices and certain things. But when we view these festivals in their proper context, we actually see that they are a celebration of what God has done for the nation of Israel. They're a party. They're a time set for the people of Israel to praise God for what he has done for them, reminding them of Yahweh's care for them, his protection of them, reminding them that Yahweh keeps his promises that he makes to them. These festivals are like Christmas to a Christian. Christmas for a Christian should be a great festival where we celebrate and praise the birth of Christ, where we praise God for sending his Son into the world. But for many people, including Christians, Christmas has become a festival that has nothing to do with God sending his Son into the world. Christmas has become so commercialized and has become so burdensome for many people. It has lost its goal of reminding us to praise God for sending Jesus into the world. And the psalmist moves on in verse 7 here in today's psalm to remind us and the readers that the law and the promises of God, as Mark showed us last week, the law is much more than just a set of instructions that we need to follow. The law reveals the very character of God. The psalmist here reminds Israel that the law is trustworthy and it's to be followed in faithfulness and uprightness. Israel is not to follow the law as a way of their salvation, but they are to follow the law in response to their salvation that God has already shown to them. Remember how the Ten Commandments start. I am the Lord your God, who has brought you out of Egypt, who has brought you out of the land of slavery. Yahweh has already saved his people, and now he is using the law to remind his people of what he has done for them and his character. Israel is to mirror Yahweh's character by living out the law, because the law reflects God's character. And they are then to live out that law reflecting God's character to the nations who surround them. God has continually shown Israel that they can trust him that he is faithful to his promises. And all Israel needs to do is trust him. He has provided redemption for his people. He has established his covenant forever. All Israel needs to do is trust in Yahweh. And the psalmist concludes the psalm by taking his readers full circle, reminding his readers that having reverence for God is the beginning of wisdom. See, true wisdom comes from realizing who God is and then having proper reverence for him. And as a result of true wisdom, they will follow his laws, showing that they have good understanding. And all of this leads back to praise for the Lord. Now, whilst this psalm is written for Israel to glorify God in the present time, and it is reliant on the ancient events of the salvation of Israel, the nation of Israel, for us non-Israelites in the room, this psalm still has great value for us. See, this psalm reveals to us the very nature of God. The psalmist is using here an acrostic poem structure to remind the readers of the characteristics of God, right through from A to Z of the Hebrew alphabet. We see this. Yahweh is the creator in verse 2. Yahweh is the sustainer in verse 2 and 3. Yahweh is righteous, verse 3. Yahweh is gracious, verse 4. Yahweh is compassionate, verse 4. Yahweh is the provider, verse 5. Yahweh is powerful, verse 6. Yahweh is faithful, verse 7. Yahweh is just, verse 7. Yahweh is trustworthy, verse 7. Yahweh is the redeemer, verse 9. Yahweh's name is holy and awesome, verse 9. The psalmist poetically reminds his readers of why they should be praising God. Compare this and contrast this to the so-called gods of the surrounding nations of Israel. These gods, whilst being numerous, are all limited to one or two characteristics only. Other nations would need to praise multiple gods, trying to appease them all. Whereas Yahweh is truly worthy of our praise because of his very nature. Yahweh is not limited to one or two characteristics. He's limitless. The psalmist is using a poem structure here that can still not even show all of the nature of God. He is truly worthy of our praise. And as non-Israelites who live some 3,000 years later, this start still has many truths for us today. We can still see God's mighty hand at work in creation. And when we turn and look at Jesus' work on that cross and what he's done for us, this should bring us to even more praise than what the Israelite nation did. Hear these words again from Ephesians 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for the adoption with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given to us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the time reaches its fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. So we, like the Israelites, can give God praise because we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. We have been chosen to be holy and blameless. We have been adopted as children of God. We have been loved. We have been redeemed through Jesus' blood. We have been forgiven. And we've been given insight. See, God's work and his deeds in the Exodus, they are the same message of love and power of that of the cross of Jesus Christ. And our response should be exactly the same as the Israelites. Praise for Yahweh. But how do we praise God? Well, I'd like to point you back to verse 1 of Psalm 111. I will extol the Lord with all my heart in the council of the upright and in the assembly. We are to praise the Lord with all our hearts in all situations. We are to praise the Lord when things are going well. Although this seems logical, this is one of the hardest times that I find to praise the Lord. I find that when things are going well, I just get on with life. I even find myself patting myself on the back saying, "Well done, Matt. Keep up your good work." But I shouldn't be doing this. Instead, I should be turning to God and giving him the praise that he rightfully deserves. We are also to praise the Lord when things are not going so well. Now, often I find this is the easiest time to come to God. When things are not going well, it's quite easy to come to God. But I don't find myself praising God. Instead, I find myself grumbling to God. See, it's difficult to praise God during hard times. But as the psalmist reminds us today, Yahweh is faithful. Yahweh is powerful. Yahweh is in control. So we should come to him knowing that nothing is out of his reach. Nothing is out of his control. Nothing is out of his power. Nothing is out of his plan. And we should praise him even in the hard times. And we are to praise the Lord in private. As Mark reminded us last week of the importance of private devotion, I want to strongly encourage you, if you have not started private devotion with God, I encourage you to do that, not out of obligation at all, but out of pure joy that we get to come to the Creator of the world and be in a relationship with him. See, Yahweh is relational. He loves it when we come to him and turn to him. And how awesome is it that we, as created beings, can relate with the Creator of everything. We are also to praise the Lord in gathering. Now, just because we are no longer under a nationwide covenant does not mean that we should stop coming together to praise God. In fact, the imagery given in the New Testament is even stronger, closer united together. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We have been adopted. We're all in the one family. We should be wanting to come together as a family, united, encouraging each other in our praise and sharing with each other. We should not come to church with the mentality of, "What can I get out of church?" Instead, we should come to the church with a mentality of how can I serve my brother or sister? And I want to conclude today's sermon with where I started it. What brings us to praise? And what is worthy of our praise? Well, today's psalm has reminded us that God's work and his nature is the thing that brings us to praise. And it is God who is worthy of our praise. So let's do this now as we continue praising God through song.